different time, different places I've gone, particularly the grocery store. Are you ready for Christmas? That was the question. I don't know what they quite mean by that. There's different ways to read that and answer that. If they mean, are all the Christmas decorations up? My wife's way ahead of that game. Do I have all the presents purchased? No. Are there friends and neighbors coming around? Well, haven't been invited any. But Christmas often is about that, isn't it? A lot of expectations, a lot of excitement, a lot of energy. And we want to just take a moment and get away from the box and the ribbons and all the things that go along with Christmas as the trimmings and talk perhaps about the real essence of the matter. You see, when Jesus came, it was the right time for God. God always does things at the right time. Everything is done in His agenda is done exactly on schedule. His calendar doesn't match mine. And it didn't match Mary, and it didn't match Zechariah, and it didn't match the shepherds, and the men who were involved in that early story of Bethlehem and the coming of Jesus. It caught them by surprise. It was unexpected. And for obvious reasons, it was the wrong time. Mary was getting ready to be married. She wasn't thinking, I'm pregnant having children. That was a surprise. Zechariah was old. He was headed into the holy place, and he had been by lot selected. This was a very special time for him to go into the holy place and to attend to the altar of incense and show bread and so forth. And he was very focused on that. So an angel interrupted him and said, got a whole different agenda. Things are different. And one of the things is to understand what was really going on at Christmas time, as we call it, for the coming of Jesus. What did the Jews really expect? What were the teachings of the day that would underscore what they were believing or believed to was going to happen? Their expectations were based on certain assumptions. If those assumptions are wrong or not correct in some way, then obviously they could very easily miss what God was going to do. So one of the things we can do to understand the situation at the time of Mary, what was being taught in the synagogue, what did the Pharisees believe about the coming of the Messiah, and that, I think, we get an eye-opener. The ladies will particularly get ready. I have two book volumes in my home. It's called by Albert Einstein. He's a first century scholar on the Jewish history and so forth of what they were doing. He later converted. He's renowned in that regard. And it's very, very interesting reading. So you get about 700 pages into his two-volume book, and you come across the what was being taught by the Pharisees about the coming of the Messiah and what everyone was expecting, and therefore what Mary and Joseph would have been hearing along with Zechariah as to what to expect. And this is what they were teaching. I had to write it down, so I did it right. Life and times of Jesus the Messiah, Alfred Edison. Kingdom expectations. One, the Messiah would appear, and then he would disappear for 45 days, and then, don't ask me why, I'm just reading this, okay? Okay. He disappeared for 45 days, and he would reappear, and he would defeat the Gentiles, and then he would set up his kingdom, and he would reign from 40 to 7,000 years. That's kind of a spread. All the dead Jews would be resurrected so that they could enjoy this new Messianic kingdom. Here's a real twist. The Palestinian teacher said that all the Jews that were dead outside of Israel, in other words, in Rome or somewhere, they're ready. I told you, this is wild and weird. But we know when you try to jump into God's agenda with your own ideas, things go awry really quick. They believe that everyone born outside of Israel, or dead outside of Israel, had to roll painfully underground all the way to Palestine so that they could be resurrected. Okay. All the wheat would grow as high as palm trees. And the wind would miraculously turn it into flour. Get ready, ladies. All the Jewish women would bear a child every day until the nation of Israel was restored to its size when it left Egypt, whatever that number that was. So, what are you doing today, ladies? Oh, I think I have a baby. Okay. What are you doing tomorrow? I think I have one scheduled then, too. The Messiah would put down the Gentiles totally in their revolt and leave them. Just like that. And then they would live with eternity, with eternal feasting, and going around and collecting jewels. Now you know what they believe. And God comes along and says, no, I don't think so. We're going to have a baby. Don't be worried about that, now. Nothing else. No headlines. No coverage by the newspapers or the televisions or anyone else. The only ones going to realize and know about this are some shepherds, the lowest of lowest. Angels are going to sing to them and bring them to a manger, grubby old stable place to have a baby, and Mary and Joseph, who by their own wonderment, are saying, we're having a baby, and we aren't. Well, this doesn't work right. Everyone around them would have been looking at them and saying, what's really going on here? They had to face and answer a lot of questions. That's full of surprises. It would have been interesting if you'd have been there and God had said, you know, we have babies here, isn't that fun? It's changed the tones to hear. All of a sudden it's meant to hear new little sounds. And someone says, well, could I hold the baby? Oh, yeah, here, you hold the baby. Oh, you hold the baby. Everybody wants to hold the baby. And so someone passes you the baby, and you say, well, what's his name? His name is Jesus. He's the Son of God. Okay? Do you hold him differently? Do you treat him differently? Is he different? No, he's not different. He's human. And he emptied himself and came to earth to be exactly that, a baby. As vulnerable as a baby is. And all the government is against him, and the Pharisees, and they don't understand this, and it certainly doesn't marry up to what I just told you. It doesn't meet that, and therefore he's totally out of step. And he needs to be rejected, and he was rejected, and ultimately despised, and he's ultimately led to the cross and killed, and he steps away from the throne. And we say, it's over, it's done, it doesn't start again, but it has ended, it just started. Because you can't keep this baby in the tomb.
power of the resurrection. And the world's never been the same. You tell me what other baby born over 2,000 years ago still causes a traffic jam over here at Park Meadows Mall. There's still something there that's real. Tom Tucky tells the moment as a Mennonite volunteer being in Arizona that a family needed help. Her name was Virginia. She had an adult daughter, Lupita, who had multiple sclerosis and was bedridden. And Lupita had three children, Valentine, George, and Elizabeth. And so they all lived in this two little room place, and they had saved up their money in order to have them add a room to it. And they hired this contractor, and instead of adding the room and doing what he was told to do, he took off with the money. Bad things happen to good people. The Mennonites came on board, and they not only built one room, they built two. And they took that family under their wing, and they stayed in touch with that family for some time afterward. And then one day, Virginia called the volunteer to come over, and he went over there, and she got out this little brown paper bag. And in the paper bag was $21.73. She said, "We've been saving for some time, and even the children have added money. We want to give this to your program." "Oh," he said, "you don't need to give that to our program. We need to keep that money." $21.73. She said, "No." And although he tried to pressure to keep it, here's what he said. "What we really need is to return something to God in thanks for the love that God showed us." There's Christmas. And so this will go to Psalm 96. And I make just some quick remarks regarding that. How open are we to give to God all the glory, the honor, the praise that ultimately belongs to Him for the wonderful gift He gave us in the giving of His Son? Psalm 96, verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise and singing, proclaim His salvation day after day. He pours glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise, for He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, to the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him, strength and glory are in His sanctuary. Verses 1 through 6. And we just kind of entitled that witness. I made it easy. But if I could just go to the story, the Christmas story of Luke and Matthew, and I've given you those references for your own study, and look at the Zechariah situation, the Elizabeth situation, the Mary situation, and the shepherd situation, and ultimately even the Washington situation. I look at all of that and I say, what was the response to coming of Jesus for them? They sang, they worshiped, they glorified this one tiny baby born in the stable. And the writer here in Psalm, he says, they sing a new song. What would be a new song? Wouldn't the new song be the carols we sing? Wouldn't the new song be O Little Town of Bethlehem? Would the new song be Hark the Herald Angels Sing? Well, we weren't singing those songs 100 years before Christ. The old song was born to us as a result of the coming of Jesus.
Are we done with our songwriting? We should never be done with songwriting. The Lord says to bring our praises, we are to sing songs and meetings and spiritual songs. We are just a whole category there. And God loves all of us. And He said, write me a song. I can't write a song, yes, you can. You really can. You can just take and I'm not a songwriter. I write songs, but people tell you that one, I can't read music. Two, my timing is I don't even track things because I'm way out of time. But God gave me a song that we sang not too long ago with Vanity. That's not the matter. Vanity, you could write a song. Even if you could look up a poem. Find a poem that you like. And oftentimes you can put music to it. Sing the poem, the poem. They tell us that all the things that we have in Jesus, that particular music, can be used for lots of different things. Try it out. Add some new words. Glorify God. Open up your heart. Sing a song. You say, well, I'm not on tune, I'm out of rhythm, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Oh, it might be in your own shower. It doesn't mean I have to hear it. You don't have to hear mine. But what glory it is to God when I'm Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah and these people that no one count worthy of anything, and they're singing songs that wind up in my scriptures and says, hear how they magnify God. You see, the psalmist catches that right off the bat. Because the one standing here waiting to remind us is that a very holy God emptied himself to come to a very unholy world to be you. Why would he do that? Except for great love to want to be here and to be with you. And we've given you Philippians chapter 2 through 5. As a reference to study with that, but you know, others have done different things, but we've been like Jesus coming to earth. Henry Thoreau, when he wrote Walden Pond, the poem, he spent a whole day, he got down in the pool to be like a frog. He spent a whole day in the pool so he could look at the world as a frog would see the world. But he didn't become a frog. He even had something where the beautiful princess is the frog, you know, and he's supposed to turn into a prince. Well, it turned out he turned into a frog. We got little things like that. Back in 1979, Pat Moore, she took and put a masquerade of latex foam on her face, bound herself in knee clothes, put on a gray wig, so that she would be identified as an 85-year-old lady. And she personally walked out of her apartment with her team, and she gingerly made her way down the steps. And her landlady said, oh, I'm sorry, how are you? Wasn't expecting you. And she said, well, don't you know who I am? No. I don't know who you are. Who are you? Well, she said, I'm Pat Moore. Pat Moore was 26 years old. She was a student in industrial design. But she had a real care for the aged, and she wanted to know what it was like. And so for once a week for 3 years over 14 states, she traveled as an 85-year-old lady just to get the whole experience of what it meant and how the world acts and reacts and doesn't to being old. What do you think it was for Jesus if he empties himself and comes to earth to be man? Look at Hebrews chapter 2, and read those verses from 5 to 18. It gives you a whole rundown of how he identified with you and me by taking on flesh and blood and suffering temptation just as you and I do. And yet without sin, he becomes our mediator and our salvation in Christ Jesus. But we need to know what it was like to be human. And he started out vulnerably as just a baby. What happened with him after identifying with our situation? God exalted him. God exalted him. Philippians chapter 2, if I ever find it. You know, this curiosity is free. While I was in Mississippi, I purchased a Bible from my brother. I told you about him last week. And he was coming back to the Lord. So I purchased him a Bible. Did I tell you that when he went to church that next Sunday, and the preacher mentioned Philippians chapter 4, so he got a brand new Bible, and he put in chapter 4, except his Bible didn't have chapter 4. I was telling Bill about this. What? Old new Bible? Nice large print, nice leather binding, no chapter 4 of Philippians. I hope you have one. But anyway, here in chapter 2, I read in these words. First time. Therefore, God has exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. That's not up for voting. That's not up for negotiation. Someone said, well, I don't know if I believe that or not. I don't care whether you believe it or not. God the Father says, get ready. You and I and everyone else are going to acknowledge what God has already acknowledged and exalted him, and that is, he is Lord. Now, let's just put some dots together for just a moment. Let's keep everything square here, everything sliding on. Yes or no? There's your boxes. Yes or no? Okay. Let's start with this fact. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's for everyone. And because he is Lord, everyone must worship him. When Jesus came into the world, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, in your notes somewhere, he said, well, all the angels worship him. When he brings the first begotten into the world, let all the angels worship him. So, being Lord and being and having worship go together. Right? Now, what works best with those two words? Okay. What works best? I need that story to be that story. What works best with those two words? A yes or a no? I can hear you. Now, why does Jesus say, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do what? You don't do what I ask you to do. It's so easy to say the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ. We must worship him. And if we worship him as Lord, there is no no in our vocabulary. Mary, when all this came upon her, didn't say, well, I don't think so. You can take that back to heaven. you can forget that deal. Oh, well, he wondered about it. He was troubled by it. He pondered those things. And then she said, let the word have his way.
Those are, read it.
Zechariah said, are you kidding me? I'm an old man. My wife's an old lady.
Well, she's older.
And we can't have children. And here we are. And you're telling me that all this is going to happen. I'm really not certain.
The angel said, well, I'll tell you what. You don't go say anything until he's born. You got about 9 months. I thought it was every day. Oh, well. Anyway, 9 months, and then you'll be able to talk. And then you'll be able to talk. And shepherds? Those guys were just unsure. They had so many warm, fuzzy moments, they didn't know what up from down. They just said they glorified God. I don't know if they danced around the campfire or what they did. And the Magi, they came, the wise men, and knelt down and worshiped him. Where are we in all that? What's a perfect Christmas really look like? Perfect Christmas really looks like a baby who is God, who has emptied himself and come to earth. Emmanuel. Precious, precious, precious. World rejection. God exalts him. He is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords, exalted on high. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. What they don't believe or what they do believe, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that's going to happen. And we sing the songs, we tell the story, and we carry it on, and on, and on, because we're waiting for him to come back. Because the one who left us is going to return. But he's not going to return as a vulnerable, small, little infant in the arms of Mary. Oh, no. No, no, no. He's coming with power. He's coming with angels. He's coming with thunder and lightning and trumpets and everything you can think of. And he's going to come when you and I will be most surprised. Because what God does, he surprises us. And he said, it's going to be just like days in Europe. People are just doing this, doing that. We're not even thinking about it. We're just carrying on. We're going to do this afternoon. We're going to do this on Monday. We've got things coming up. Check your calendar. Look at your appointments. And God says, well, okay, that's good on your calendar, but my calendar says, coming up. And it's over. But you know when you've waited 400 years for the Christ to come? Over 400 years. Things have kind of settled into some stuff that I just read you. What it's going to be like when he comes. He's going to do this and that. We're going to have wheat with palm trees and whatever. What's it say in 2 Peter 3? This is a little empty, but I want to end with this. Oh, I didn't. No, I can't. Why can't I? Come on, Danny. Stay with me. Because we didn't read the verse in Psalm 96. You knew that. I just had the blue fell on the floor. That's okay. Psalm 96. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord. Verse 7. Glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory to his name. Bring an offering and come in his court. Worship the Lord in his fullness of holiness. Come before him all the earth. And that's where we got the idea of him being Lord and us worshiping. Verse 10. Think among the nations the Lord reigns. Yes, he does. The word is firmly established, it cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. But the heavenly joy, the earthly glass, it is found, sheen and sound, and all that is in it, as the fields be jubilant, and everything in them. And all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness. And the people in this truth.
been a while, hasn't it? It's another Christmas. Maybe there'll be another one, and another one, and another one. I don't know. I don't have God's calendar. I just know it's going to be sudden, unexpected, and we're going to be surprised. But let's read this. Verse 2, chapter 3. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the Holy Prophet and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the latter days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is it coming? He promised, ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, heaven was created and the earth was formed out of water and by water, and by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. And by the same word, the present heavens and the earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But don't forget one thing, dear friends. For the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. Jesus came to save sinners. But everyone to come to repentance. And the day of the Lord will come up with you. How does the thief come? When you're not even scheduled, you don't get a little poster on your door. Tomorrow night, I'll be there. You had someone breaking your home? We have. Not a bad, it's a terrible feeling. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The earth will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And everything will be destroyed in this place. What kind of people are you to be? You want to live holy in God's lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in fervent heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So, dear friends, if you are looking forward to this, make every effort to become spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. This is our father, brother Paul, also wrote to you about the wisdom of God in this matter. Wow. It was just an average day when Gabriel showed up. It was just an average day when Zechariah encountered an angel. It was just some shepherds who grabbed their lunchbox and headed for the hills another night, sent for the sheep. And then everything changed. The whole world has changed since the baby has been born. And the whole world is going to change again when this baby comes back. And we're expecting him. And we're waiting for him. And we're grieving with him. Because he arose from the dead. So we pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for your goodness and grace and love. Lord, we're overwhelmed when we stop and think and really pay attention to what you have done and are doing. We know, Lord, that life is routine for us, but we know that there's another agenda, and it's yours. And someday, Lord, you're going to come back through all of this. And everyone will be held in account. Everyone will be rewarded accordingly. But certainly everyone has been acknowledged that you are indeed, Lord. Bless us to our homes. As we look forward to Christmas, Lord, may we see it in a new way. May we see it through your glasses. What a wondrous event it was when you came to earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you like to